Amen. 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 Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. The world may consider this Easter, but we know it is what? Resurrection Sunday. Amen. Amen. This is when the Lord, what? Had victory over death. Amen. Amen. Welcome to everybody. We have more and more people coming in the sanctuary. Starting to have more people going to overflow. We also have people joining us on YouTube and Facebook Live. Amen, everybody. We are happy that you made it out today. Amen. Amen. Despite all that is going on in this world, the Lord is what? Bringing us through so that we could see another Resurrection Sunday to say, thank you, Christ Jesus, for you having all authority and being in control. Amen. Amen. This is also what? The first Sunday of the month. So this is our communion Sunday. So for those of you who are participating at home, we ask that you take what you have set aside, the bread or the crackers and the juice that you have set aside, that you would prepare that so that we can go into communion, which we will do in a moment after I lead us in prayer. So let's get our hearts and minds together and say, thank you, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. If we could all stand, we will open with a prayer. Amen. Amen. We thank you, O Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That we, hallelujah, have yet another opportunity to celebrate you and say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for preparing a place for us to worship you. For preparing preachers and teachers that we would hear your word so that we could all receive the good news, hallelujah, of your ministry, your life, your death, and your resurrection, your victory, Christ Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, hallelujah. Lord, prepare our hearts and minds this morning that we would receive your word. That we would be transformed and renewed. That we would spread your gospel throughout this world. That we would go ye therefore. Because you have preserved us to this day. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to assemble together in your name. For you have two or three gathered together. Praising you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. 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 If y'all could remain standing, we're going to go into our communion portion of the service. I'm going to read our scripture. Then I'm going to have Reverend Lyons come up. He's going to give our confession of faith. And then our Elder Bishop Ford is going to pray over the sacraments. Amen. Amen. The word of God reads as follows. I have already told you what the Lord Jesus did on the night he was betrayed. And it came from the Lord himself. He took some bread in his hands, Then after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Eat this and remember me." After the meal, Jesus took a cup of wine in his hands and said, "This is my blood." And with it, God makes his new agreement with you. Drink this and remember me. The Lord meant that when you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you tell about his death until he comes. But if you eat the bread and drink the wine in a way that isn't worthy of the Lord, you sin against his body and blood. That is why you must examine the way you eat and drink. If you fail to understand that you are the body of the Lord, you will condemn yourselves by the way you eat and drink. That is why many of you are sick and weak, and why a lot of others have died. If we carefully judge ourselves, we won't be punished when the Lord judges and punishes us. He does it to keep us from being condemned with the rest of the world. My dear friends, you should wait until everyone gets there before you start eating. If you really are hungry, you can eat at home. Then you won't condemn yourselves when you meet together. After I arrive, I will instruct you about the other matters. And that was coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 34. And now our Reverend Lyons is going to come up and give us our confession of faith.
One, two. All right, everybody, repeat after me. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we might delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your name, amen.
Father, we're so grateful for this another beautiful Lord's Day morning, Resurrection Sunday morning. We are blessed and privileged to be gathered in this, your sanctuary, among your people, where we can lift our voices in praise and thanksgiving to him who did it all for us back on Calvary, where he was wounded for our transgressions and where he was bruised for our iniquities. He took the chastisement for our peace, and with his stripes we were and are healed. Body, soul, and spirit. We thank you this morning for the divine healing that is ours in the name of Jesus. Woo! Glory. Father, we thank you for the privilege again that is ours to come around the communion table one more time. You said as often as we do it, we are to do it in remembrance of him. Oh, glory to God. We thank you, Father, for keeping us over another 30 days. Even in this pandemic, you have preserved and kept us. Hallelujah. From all hurt, harm, danger, and destruction. You kept your loving arms about us. And this morning, we are gathered in your presence and in your sanctuary. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. You've been so mighty good to us. Oh, my goodness gracious. Wow, wow. We bless your name. We bless your name. Lord, we bless your name. Glory to God. Wow! We thank you. And we ask you to join us now. As we pray a consecration prayer over these communion elements. I ask you, Father, to bless the bread and bless the wine. May the bread be as his broken body, and may this drink be as your shed blood, that as we partake this morning, we'll be mindful of the fact that we are both taking the body and blood of our Lord. And we do it all in remembrance of him. And this we pray and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Amen.
At this time, those that are here with us in the sanctuary, those upstairs in the overflow, and to all of you joining us from your homes, we're going to ask that you take what you have set aside to commemorate the Lord's death, his burial, and his resurrection, that you've set aside as bread, what you've set aside as wine and juice. Come now. If you're here in the sanctuary, we're going to ask you to take out that wafer representing the unleavened bread. If you have that, let us lift it up this morning. Even as Bishop Ford prayed, this bread, symbolic of the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I say to you, even as Christ said to his disciples, take, eat, this is my body. Shall we eat together? I'm going to ask you to pull back, exposing the grape juice. I'm going to ask that you lift it up This juice, it also is symbolic. It represents the shed blood of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. Shall we all drink together? And with that simple act of obedience, we join ourselves as the body of Christ, with Christ himself, and with one another. This is our koinonia. Christ Jesus is what we have in common among believers everywhere. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed and holy is your name. We thank you for the ever approaching kingdom of God, which is here now and is yet to come. We thank you for this intimate moment, this delicate time of fellowship that we have with one another and with you in the presence of our Heavenly Father. We ask that you would bless us now. We pray that you would strengthen us now, encourage our hearts, ignite our faith, and cause our mind to become focused, that your will may be done in earth, even as it is in heaven. Lord, make us one, even as you and the Father are one. Cause believers everywhere to be united, to stand as one body, one church, bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. This is our prayer. We ask it in the name of the only begotten of God. And all of God's people said amen, amen, amen. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise everywhere. Come on, everybody. Come on, everybody. Come on, come on, come on, come on. It's Easter Sunday. It's Resurrection Sunday. Come on, give your God a standing ovation. Lord, we adore you. Lord, we magnify you. Lord, we praise you. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Oh Lord, I thank you. Oh Lord, I praise you. If it had not been for the Lord on our side. Woo! I love the praise's name. Oh, how I love the praise's name. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. Shalom and happy Passover to all of my Jewish brothers and sisters who are joining us on this Sunday. Grace and peace in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and happy Easter to all of my Christian brothers and sisters and those that are of like precious faith. I was musing this morning on my way to church, just thinking about this time last year and how we were unable to come to the sanctuary, unable to celebrate Easter, Good Friday, and Holy Week, as we were accustomed to doing. And here we are 1 year later, and though while we are still under some restrictions, I can say, like David said, I was glad
when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. And I'm just glad to be in God's house. Amen. Thanking God for your presence as well. Let's turn our attention to the Word of God. If you have your Bibles this Sunday morning, we're in the Gospel of St. Mark, the very first chapter. We're going to look after verses 35 through and including verse 39. The Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 1, verse 35, down to and including verse 39. You don't mind, I'd like to get one more stand out of you. I know you done stood and pledged allegiance. You done stood for prayer. You done stood for communion. Lucky are all those who are at home with your slippers on. The stand is not too bad, but if you're in heels and stilettos, that third stand gets a little tough. But we don't have much to cover. And we'll have you back down. Mark 1:35, if you're there, you'll see these words. Now, in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And when they found him, they said to him, everyone is looking for you. But he said to them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all of Galilee and casting out demons. Amen. This morning, I just want to take a few minutes. Don't want to exhaust the time. Received so many compliments and such positive feedback on last Sunday, not only because of that dynamic word preached by our deaconess Lillian Davis Jones, but it was brought to my attention how she did it all and still had ample time left over. For some reason, all of the texts and the message, but they went on and on about Lillian and how at 10:47, they knew the exact 10:47, 13 unused minutes. Well, Sister Lillian has been so kind. She said, Pastor, you can have. You may be seated. You may be seated. You may be seated. You may be seated. I got 13 extra. Thank God for Jesus. Hey, I feel something already. This morning we're going to talk from the subject, get the word out. Get the word out. Verse 35 says, now, in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. If you can remember our last time together, preached from the subject, saved to serve and healed to help. And in that, we looked at the story of the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. We pointed out that Peter's mother-in-law used her gift to feed and strengthen Jesus and his disciples physically. The last and probably most important sentence of that story is that after she was healed, it says, she immediately served them. And the implication is that her service was hospitality. She fed them, she made a bed for them and prepared guests, and she extended hospitality to them. And in so doing,
we're reminded that that was such a needful thing because in just a few hours at sundown, a mass of people had gathered on Peter's lawn. And Jesus, waiting till after the sun had gone down to bring to a conclusion the close of the Sabbath, he goes out and he heals many of them and he casts out demons out of many more. And we spoke about how he needed physical strength to be able to do that. And now what we see here in verse 35 is how Jesus used his private time early in the morning before the busyness of the day had taken over, how he would sneak out and find a private place and spend time with the Father. And in so doing, we now see how Jesus used his time with the Father to be fed and strengthened spiritually. Are you with me this Sunday? Because it was his time with the Father that gave him the spiritual power and anointing to confront the enemy and gain the victory. The hospitality of Peter's mother-in-law strengthened him physically so that he could have the stamina to go all night. But it was the Father who strengthened the Son to have the power and anointing to get the victory all night long. Are you following what I'm saying? That there is worth the whole sermon. If we wrapped it up here, you got something to go home with. It's not only enough to take care of yourself physically and feed your physical man, but in like manner, we must feed our spiritual man so that what? We can use the authority that we have. Are you with me on this? Your spiritual power, strength and authority is directly proportional to the amount of time you spend feeding and exercising your spiritual man. Let me say it again. Your spiritual power, your spiritual strength, your spiritual authority is directly proportional to the amount of time you spend feeding and exercising your spiritual man. Are you with me? If you put little in, I wish I had a real church, you can only get a little out. But if you put a lot in, when the time comes, you can get a lot. Touch your neighbor and say, put the work in. If you want to get the work out. See, to get something out of your salvation, look what the Philippian writer says, 2:12. He says, work out your own soul salvation and do it with fear and with trembling. If it means I gotta get up an extra hour early, look at somebody and say, get the work in, because you're gonna need that authority that you have. And the only way you're gonna overcome the devil is if you got spiritual power waiting in reserve. But if you don't put nothing in, I'm finished with it. You do what you want to do with it. If you got it, say, I got it. If Jesus felt the need to spend time
alone with the Father, how much more? I wish I had a real church. I'm going to get it. I tell you. Here it is. I got to keep going. 36, Simon, those who were with him, presumably his brother Andrew and James and John, said they searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, Jesus, everybody is looking for you. So when I read verse 36, I thought they were looking for Jesus because he didn't come down to breakfast. Peter's mother-in-law, having served them last night, she too rose early in the morning and probably got things ready to serve them in the morning. Place for Peter, Andrew, wives, James, John, setting for Jesus, but he never came down. And so I would assume someone eventually went up and, hey, Jesus, I know if I ministered that late at night, I would sleep that late in the morning. So they did him a courtesy, didn't bother, but now the food was on, the grits, cheese, eggs, sausage, scrapple. I'm in the wrong message. That's what I want to eat. I'm sorry. I done messed up the sermon about what I want to eat, but whatever. They said, Jesus, the food is ready. Breakfast is ready. Come on down and eat. Eventually they peered in and found out that he wasn't there. So again, looking at the text, I said, okay, they were looking for because he missed breakfast. Well, maybe he went out for a walk. Maybe he wasn't there. You know, maybe he's out back on the deck, wherever. But they would assume that. I said, well, once he smells this food and the coffee, he'll, and that what Toucan Sam says, follow your nose. All you cereal lovers, y'all too old for that. I need kids to preach that message. But look at verse 37. Verse 37 changes the meaning. They weren't searching for him because he was missing breakfast. They were not searching for him because he had gone out and they assumed he was lost because he was unfamiliar with the neighborhood. Verse 37 gives us the real reason why they were looking for Jesus. Even before noticing that Jesus has not come down for breakfast, Peter notices an unusually large crowd outside his house. Now this is, in a preaching context, this is called implied information. Implied meaning it's not specific, doesn't say this. And again, I told you in Mark's writing, Mark writes a high level accounting of, he does not get into much detail, right? There's a lot he leaves out. He hits the high points and keeps it moving. And so while the text does not specifically say this, it is safe to assume it without injuring the text. We can make this assumption and the text still holds together, right? Why can we make this assumption? Here we go. Last night, you read back up 33, 4, or you read back down, the text says this. It says that they brought all who were sick. Read it. Verse 33, the whole city gathered at his door. That means everybody, right? Then it says verse 34, then he healed many. Follow it. Everybody came to Peter's house. Why? Because Jesus was there. And they had heard what he did at the synagogue. So everybody is at Peter's house. But the text says he healed many. Are you with me? That means what? There were some people who did not get healed. There were some people who did not get the demons cast out of them. Why? Because Jesus called it what? Quits. This is a side note. This is bonus points. Anybody know why he stopped? The Father told him to. But that's another sermon. Another sermon, another church. But the text clearly says he didn't heal everybody. He healed many, but not everybody. So here's the question. What do you think the people who did not get healed do? All right, let me ask it another way. If you were sick and were an eyewitness to a miracle worker who before your turn in line comes, calls it quits, what would you do? You stay right there. You do what? You don't want to lose your place. Where? In line. Right? Come on, anybody got the vaccine? Everybody's going to get a vaccine. I don't care who. Look, mama, I call you back. I am in line for the COVID-19 vaccination, and I'm not leaving. Okay? You're going to have to wait till I get home. Right? I'm not going to lose my life. Why? This is my chance. So when they wake in the morning, inside the house, they notice Jesus is not there. But outside the house, everybody is waiting for Jesus. So they don't go looking for Jesus, watch this, out of an abundance of concern for Jesus. They go looking for Jesus out of the abundance of concern for the masses of people in Peter's garden. So they go get Jesus. They find him. Now I want you to remember something about Peter. Peter, not only is he a fisherman, but Peter is a businessman. And a businessman can always spot an opportunity. That's what businessmen do. Where is there an opportunity to make a profit? So when they find him, look at what the text says. And when they found him, they said to him, everyone is looking for you. Notice they didn't say, we were looking for you so that you can come home and have grits, cheese, eggs, and sausage. I wish I had a real church. You know this only works in the African-American context. They didn't say that. They said, no, the crowd is looking for you. Again, I'm going to work implied information here now. Mark does not say it, but the implication is, Peter says, let's go back to my house. Because there is an opportunity to now capitalize on your popularity and overnight success. It doesn't say this in the text. This is implied information. They wanted Jesus to come back so that he could do what he had done the night before. Peter, being a businessman, said the only thing we're going to do different this time, we're going to take an offering. I wish I had a real church. A real church would help me preach this. Jesus had become an overnight sensation. And everybody wanted to see Jesus. Peter said, here's an opportunity to capitalize and seize the moment. We'll take one offering before it starts, and we'll take another when it's over. Y'all don't have to say amen. All right, I'm finished. Let me preach the real sermon. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. That's that. Verse 38, we're finished. But listen how Jesus responds. I'm not mad at Peter. You know why? I would have done the same thing. Just being honest. But again, Peter's not the focal point of the story. Jesus is. And listen to what Jesus says. Here it is. He says to them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. This is what he said. They were like, Jesus, you are a YouTube sensation. I got young people here, so y'all help me on this. He had become an influencer. They wanted Jesus' name and face on towels, cups, t-shirts, pajama sets. Why? Because he was an overnight sensation. And the fellas said, look, let's capitalize on the moment we've been given. But Jesus said, no, let us go on to the other towns. Look, let me preach it right. Here it is. He says, but let us go to the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I've come forth. Here it is. Jesus was more concerned with getting the word out than he was about getting his popularity up. I just gave you the whole sermon and y'all looking back at me. All right. I'm going to try it again. Jesus was more concerned with getting the word out than he was with getting his popularity up. Look, and I'm going to prove it. I got a witness. John 17 and 8. And Jesus said, praying in his high priestly prayer, guess what? To the Father, again. He says these words. For I have given to them the words which you have given to me. He said, Father, I done got the word. I gave them your words. Not my words. I gave them your words. And they have received them and have known surely that I have come forth from you. And they have believed that you sent me. Not only was he concerned about getting the word out, but look at how he approached his purpose strategically. He tells the boys, let us go. While Jesus was the focal point of this evangelistic outreach, he incorporates the participation of his disciples as an opportunity for them to watch and learn so they could continue with his purpose after he's gone. Look at somebody and say, get the word out. We used to sing a song when we used to have church. We used to sing this song. Y'all remember this? I gotta praise. I gotta praise. I gotta praise. And I gotta get it out. I gotta praise. The whole point of the song was that this praise was rooted down on the inside. And I heard Jeremiah say it this way, it's like fire. Here it is. Jesus had a word from the Father and he had to get it out. And we, like Jesus, also have a word that should be burning down on the inside of us. And we too should be yearning to get the word out. And I can hear somebody say, Pastor, what's the word for the church? What's the word that we've got to get out? Here it is. That one Friday afternoon, this is where I need my real church. Jesus of Nazareth, crucified on a cross called Calvary. There was a time when we would gather for communion and the church would sing. They hung him high and they stretched him wide to see how free my Lord could die. And the hammer was heard all in Jerusalem street. See how it died on Calvary. Then Joseph, from a town called Arimathea, along with a rabbi called Nicodemus, received right to the dead body of Jesus. They took it and they laid it in an unused tomb. Two guys put all of their muscle and rolled a stone in front of his grave. And Jesus stayed in the grave all night Friday. He stayed in the grave all day Saturday. He stayed in the grave all night Saturday night. But early Sunday morning, well, before daybreak, up from the grave, he arose. Somebody help me preach a little while. Up from the, woo! He got up so that we could get the word out. Woo! My goodness. He got up so that you and I could get the word out. Every town, every city, every heart. Woo! Woo!
Get it out. Yes, Lord, I got to get it out. I got a word. Touch three people and tell them, get the word out. Get the word out. Every town, every city, every house, every family, get the word, get the word. Yes, yes, yes again. I gotta get it out. I gotta tell somebody. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Early on the first day of the week, the women came to the tomb looking to serve the body of Christ. But when they got there, they met an angel who said to the women, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, for he is risen, for he is risen, for he is risen. Like he said, get the word out, get the word out, get the word out. Get it out. Open your mouth. Tell somebody God's not dead. He's yet alive. God's not dead. He's yet alive. Yes, Lord. He's alive. He's risen. He's not dead. He's not dead. I feel him in my hands. I feel him in my feet. I feel him all over me. He's alive. And he walks with me. And he talks with me along life's narrow way. That's how I know he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. He talks with me along life's narrow way. That's how I know
That's how Jesus knew the Father was with him. That's how the disciples knew. Even after his ascension, that he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He is not a has been. The Bible declares he is a very present help here right now. Our time, trouble, trials, testing, and tribulation. That's how we know. That's how we believe by faith that he lives. This is why we've got to get the word out. Because there are some people who don't know. And while we're so glad for the record numbers we have viewing us online and from the ever increasing crowds that are coming out on Sunday, in spite of all of that, there's still people who don't know. And it can't be about increasing our popularity as a church. Can't it be about me increasing my popularity as a pastor or a preacher? That stuff don't matter. Not to him. But what matters to God, Jesus said, for this purpose, I came not only to die, but I came to get the word out. To tell the world that the kingdom of God is at hand. And I say the same today to you. The kingdom of God is closer to you today than it's ever been before. Why won't you take advantage of the opportunity afforded you? The gift given by God for you for right now. Reach your hand towards the television screen. Reach your hand towards the pulpit. And just tell the Lord, I believe in you. I accept you as my personal Savior. I believe in you as my Redeemer. And I confess your name to all of my family and to all of my friends. I'll never deny your name again. You're my Savior. You're my King, my Lord, my God. And I'm going to live for you. And just like you died for me, I'm going to die for you. Because I want to see you. Face to face, not in this life, but in the life that is to come, in the presence of Almighty God. And I want to hear the Father say, well done. Yeah, well done. Well done. You got the word out. Somebody got the word to you. Then you took that same word and shared it with somebody else. Today, the kingdom of God is enlarged because of your faith. That's why we do this faithfully every Sunday. It's our small part of getting the word out so that people like you, men like you, women like you, boys and girls like you, can hear the good news and give your life to Christ. You're on the line and you've accepted Christ today. You got to get on our website. Send me a message right now. Get on our contact page. Select pastor. I gave my life to Christ today. I gave my life to become a believer for Jesus Christ. And I want to join with you in your ministry and getting the word out. I'm available. My laptop's available. My phone's available. I'll get the word out. I'll tell somebody hurting and alone, Christ died for you. He saved you so that you could serve. He healed you so that you could help. Help what? Advance the kingdom. How do I help the kingdom? By getting the word out. That's the message today to the church and to the body of Christ. Taylor, God bless you. Happy Easter. Happy Resurrection Sunday. The Lord be with you. Keep you. Cause his face to shine upon you. Amen. 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 Good word. Amen. For those of you who are here and those of you at home, good word. Amen. Amen. Meditate on that word this week and reach out to the pastor as he asked of you. Amen. With that, we are going to move on to the giving portion of our service, and then after that, we will have our announcements. So with the offering, there are three ways to give, and I'm going to read this. So at this time, when we gather, the three ways to give, you can give by text message. You can text the code Taylor 61, T-A-Y-L-O-R 61. To the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link with instructions. So if that's how you'd like to give, you can do it that way. You can also give through our church website. So you can go to taylortabernacle.com, our website, which hopefully you know because you're watching us on the internet or you're here. And you would go to the giving tab and follow the instructions. Amen. Finally, you can give by U.S. mail. You would send a check or a money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. Amen. And then for those of us who are here in the sanctuary, on your way out by the side door, we have our baskets. We have a basket for our tithes and offering, and we have another basket for our speaker. Amen. So that we can be supportive and what? Minister to our preacher, to our pastor, to strengthen him. Amen. Because there's one thing that I will say that if you know our pastor, you know when he read that scripture about waking up early in the morning and praying, he does that every day to keep his spiritual connection. Amen. So that he can deliver this word to us and let us be a blessing unto him and his family. Amen. Amen. So what I'm going to go to next are our announcements. So I believe Sister Barbara had to step away. So for announcements, first thing, the pastor and the leadership team would like to thank you for joining us for the reopening of the church. Amen. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to join us in worship from your home. In response to the city of Philadelphia's most recent restrictions on religious services, we're now limited to 10 people in the sanctuary and 12 people in our third floor overflow area. When you decide to join us for in-person worship, please take your temperature before you leave home and bring a mask to wear. Amen. We all have our masks here. If you or someone in your family has had contact with anyone who has the COVID-19 virus, we encourage you to please stay home. Amen. That's why we provide the service over the internet, so that we can collectively join either here or at home. And let's be patient. Amen. We're going to come out of this. Now, in the month of April, Monday, April 5th through Friday, April 9th, which would be tomorrow unto this coming Friday, we will fast for 12 hours, and that's from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. At 6 a.m. and 6 p.m., we will all gather on the church conference line for a 15 to 20 minute time for devotion, reflection, incorporating scripture, and prayer. Amen. This week's fast will be led by Deacon Aaron Abrams and Sister Marcy Abrams. Amen. So let us call the church conference line, and you can find that on the website. I think I know it by heart, but I don't want to mess it up. So I'll just say check the website. Most of us know it. And let us pray and fast this week. Amen. April 14th, there is a community job fair from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. over at the hospital of the University of Pennsylvania, the Cedar Avenue Atrium, 54th and Cedar Avenue. You can register online, and that registration is at it's pennmedicine.org, but I'm just going to read through the letters so you can have it. pennmedicine.org/Cedar, C-E-D-A-R 54, jobs, J-O-B-S, or call 215-615-8074. Pre-registration is required for the job fair. On April 16th, can we say hooray for the marriage ministry? I know y'all saying we got hooray. Deacon Aaron Abrams said hooray for the marriage ministry. Amen. Amen. April 16th, marriage ministry, movie and conversation, 7 p.m. You should RSVP with Sister Marcy Abrams at 215-587-7024. We had a fantastic program. I think it was 2 months ago, if I remember correctly. I might be off. Was it 1 month? It was before. How's that? That the Abrams let us in. So we're going to gear up again for another fantastic program. Amen. And then at the end of the month, on April 30th, YLE will be holding a family game night event at 7:30 p.m. Amen. Amen for YLE. Now, if you have a prayer request, please visit the church's website, www.taylortabernacle.com, and go to our prayer request page, or call our church at 215-748-4578 and leave a voicemail so that we can respond to you. Remember to hit subscribe right there on the YouTube page or follow us on Facebook, so that you are informed and up to date with all of our upcoming gatherings and dates. There's some information you can put in your email, and then you will receive an email for the different things that are going on. If you're not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address, and we will add you to the list. Amen. Thank you. With that, we are now going to have our pastor come back up to give us our benediction. Amen.
God bless you, Taylor Nation. Thanks so much for your attentiveness and your patience and your love for the Word of God and your love for the people of God. Hey, I want to say one thing before I give this benediction. A question has been posed to me a number of times, and I just want to add my voice to it publicly so that you can have it for the record. And that is, like I said, our numbers continue to grow online via Facebook and YouTube, the internet, and we're grateful for that. And a number of folks have asked, can I join your church? Can I join the church, Taylor Tabernacle? And I don't live in the city. I don't live in Philadelphia. meaning that when we are fully operational, I wouldn't be able to come to the services and different things. And so I just want to add my voice to that. And the answer to that question is yes, you can join the church, even though you don't live in the Delaware Valley, Philadelphia, South Jersey, or Delaware. And all you have to do is go to our website, go to that contact page, and there is an option you can select that says, I wish to become a member. And what's going to happen, you're going to be invited to join our monthly new members class. And presently, and some of the church may not even know this, we currently have 2 to 3 people going through our new members class right now who are online. They haven't been to the worship experience. One doesn't even live in this area. They're two or three states away. But again, because everything is online and virtual now, our new members class is now online and virtual, taking place via Zoom. And so that option is also available to you. So if you're looking and you're listening and you are being drawn to this ministry to come and help, I emphasize come and help. If you don't want to help, don't join. I'm going to be honest with you. Join somebody else's church. Jesus healed you to help. He saved you to serve. And so we don't need any dead weight or someone who's not. If you come on and you want to help us get the word out, go on our website. Select that tab and says, yes, I want to join the church. You send us your contact information via the website. Someone from our new members team will reach out to you and get you into our new members class. At the conclusion of it, every person who goes through the new members class meets with the pastor. And again, that will be online and virtual for you that are not here. Give us a chance. Give me a chance to meet you, you to meet me. Any questions you might have for me and for the ministry above and beyond what may have been answered or not answered during the new members class, I make myself available for you then and as your pastor going forward. So again, I want to answer that question because it's been coming up more and more, and I've just been answering it as people ask me. But I want to say it broadly. So one, to those who are listening, but also want to say it to our church. You have friends who don't live here, who don't aren't around this area. Let them know if they want to. Now's the time. Connect with the ministry. Get a part of what we're doing, the marriage ministry, the singles ministry, what we're doing with our young people. Again, all of it's happening online. And to those that are local, feel free to come on down and worship with us. We're now allowed to have 20 people in our sanctuary. We're allowed to have 20 people upstairs in the overflow. And so you're welcome to be a part of our ministry. Amen. Everybody good with that? If you got it, say I got it. Come on, let's stand and get out of here. So glad for our brother Raymond Maples. For those of you who are not here, he just got the church. I heard a coming late. Lord, he didn't come late. He came after it was over. You're going to say, Pastor, at least I got the benediction. All right. But guess what? He can still help us get the word out. That's right. The Lord bless you. Keep you, call his face to shine upon you, rest you, and give you peace. God bless you, Taylor Nation. Get the word out.